الحمد لله الذي بنعمه تتم الصالحات. الحمد لله الذي قدر كل ما هو آت وكل ما هو فات. نسأله عز وجل موجبات رحمته، نسأله الفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار. I bear witness there's no deity save Allah and that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger and his mercy to all mankind. We pray to him to shower his mercy and his blessings upon all the prophets and upon Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon all of them. Dear brothers and sisters, let me first start by recognizing that all praises are due to Allah. We thank him for his blessings. We thank him for everything that he had given us. And we don't forget to thank Allah for that gift of life that we talked about before. And on the behalf of the Islamic Center, I'd like to thank all of you for your support and for your faith in our message and our institution. My khutbah today, inshallah, will be about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's no secret that the Ummah is commemorating this, the birth of a man who changed the course of history. And we claim that he is the best that man, that humanity has produced. And when you speak about such a giant figure, and there are so many aspects of his life that you can talk about, yet I will choose only on one part, one slice, which is his love and the role of love was in his life, and the role of love to him should be in our life. I'll start with the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was narrated in Bukhari and in Muslim. عن أنس رضي الله عنه أنه قال لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. That your faith will not be complete unless you love him, you love the Prophet more than you love your father, your parents, your children, all nas ajma'in, all people. Once the Prophet ﷺ was walking with Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, the Prophet ﷺ were holding his hand, and Umar told him, O the Prophet of Allah, I love you more than anything except myself. The Prophet told him, no, you should love me more than yourself. So Umar paused and thought about it for a second or two, and he responded, said, no, as a matter of fact, I do. I love you more than myself. The Prophet said, Al-ana ya Umar, now you got it. I think this comes, this what we hear, the Prophet teaching the companions to love him in such a profound way, it comes from a verse in chapter 9, verse 24, the message of the Quran entirety, but it is captured in this verse, a verse that we hear a lot. قل إن كان آباؤكم وأبناؤكم وإخوانكم. Say if your parents and your children and your brethren, and the verse continues to talk about everything that we, that is dear to our heart, work, everything. And then the Quran comes, أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. It is more loved to you than Allah and His Messenger. There's a warning that these important aspects of life shouldn't be loved to us more than Not that we don't love them. Of course we love. But our love to Allah and to His Messenger should be more profound, should be deeper and more profound in our heart. So this is where that Islam is advocating now, whether it is the Quran or the teaching of the Prophet, advocating really to love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I'd like to ask a question, why? I mean, some of us already, we already know why, and some of us, the younger generation, or someone new in faith, you wonder why. Why such an emphasis? I think we can see that in the hadith of Aisha, may God be pleased with her, when people would ask her about the Prophet. How was he? Those one who got to know him, easy, but those one who came after. How was he? His behavior, his character, his thoughts, his demeanor, everything. How was he? If you can explain that to us. In one sentence. كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. The entirety of the persona of the Prophet, from the character to the behavior, to the wording, to the teaching, to everything. I will use the word persona / character, is a product of the Quran. I think that helps us understand when the Prophet is telling us, you should love me more than anything else, he's not talking about his looks, his attire. This is, his look comes from God. Attire, he was wearing what everybody else would wear in his time. The lineage, that was a gift. We don't pick who are our parents. But what the Prophet ﷺ was advocating and teaching is that if everything about me is a product of the Quran, the values and the teachings and everything is from the Quran, that means now you are loving not necessarily my physical aspect, but you're loving my character, my behavior, that is a product of what? Of the Quran. And the Quran is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the provider and the creator and the sustainer and the cherisher. Now you're loving Allah through my acts and my deeds and my life. And that's why I love when someone would say, you wanted to you read the Quran, but you want to see the Quran alive? Look at the Prophet. Look at his life. So here the Quran, here is Islam advocating, whether it is the Quran or the Prophet, to love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is because what he represents. This is something we should not lose sight of. It's not about the physical, but it's about the persona, it's about the character, it's about what he represents, and he represents the values and the teaching and the guidance of the Quran. So that would be the first thing. The second thing is sometimes when we read about the Prophet, we see the admiration goes beyond the Muslims. All you have to do, go to Google, for the young generation here, go to Google and write what others have said in a positive way about the Prophet, and you will find a long list of giant figures. And I read a few of what they say, and I really sometimes, I mean, I kept thinking, what this fascination by these giant figures. One thing came to my mind is really when you look at the history of humanity, the majority of the time you will find people say one thing, admonish one thing, they speak big about freedom and about equality and about love and compassion, and they speak big. But when you get the lenses and you get closer to their life, whether it's a private life or public life, you will see a contradiction. There's plenty of examples, you can research and find it. But when you find someone who, what he says and what he advocates, what he promotes, what he admonishes, he himself is the first implementer, you can't but to admire and to respect that individual, because it is rare. You think it is common, no, it is not, it is rare. Read the history. So these are things that really can put the Prophet before us as a model, as an example for us to love and to go beyond just to love him. So my attempt today is to really help us to get closer to the Prophet with my limited time. And just for us to see, when you read a book or you watch a movie, the main figure, if he's good or she's good, sometimes you walk out and you tell your wife or your kids, well, I'm in love with that character. You read the book, many times those one who are in book clubs, they come and they said, I love that character. Why? You get to know him or her closely. So my attempt today is to trigger our interest to get to know the Prophet beyond the noise that you hear, and beyond some of our cultural things that we do. I mean, we chant about the Prophet and we sing. This is all beautiful. It's beautiful. But we shouldn't stop there. We should go beyond that and get to know him as closely as possible so we can love him in a profound way. So let me start by an attempt to get to closer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I will start with this hadith again. It was narrated by Imam al-Bukhari. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. Something we've heard that a lot. Your faith will not be complete until you love for your brother or your sister what you love for yourself. Now, let me do a little bit about love. حتى تحب. There's an emphasis here that you will love. And the love we all know that is the deep empathy. Is when you understand, share, and feel someone's feeling. So when you say, I have love for you, it has to go through these three things, brothers and sisters. First, understand what the person is experiencing, he or she. Number two, has the empathy. That means you ought to feel what they feel. Number three is to wish for them what you wish for yourself. Usually you find this for parents, right, are the most loving. And sometimes even they go beyond. They love for us what more than they love for themselves. Is that love that we are talking about, which of course we're talking about the Prophet even deeper than that. So bear in mind is that love that for your brother and your sister. Now, I know the first thing comes to your mind, well, my brother and my sister is the people of the same faith, which is really not the case. If you look at the Quran does something beautiful. وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُودٍ. And it is the tribe of Ad who أَخَاهُمْ. Their brother is Hud. So here, the Quran is putting the big circle of a brother and sisterhood of humanity. They don't have to be the same faith. They don't have to be the same race, the same color, the same gender. But it is that big circle. And I found this hadith that I found it fascinating. That I honestly was the first time that I hear it. It was narrated by Abu Dawood and by Imam Ahmad. Both of them, عن زيد بن أرقم. And it's a long dua. And the Prophet is saying is, in part of the dua, I was fascinated. أنا شهيد أن العبادة كلهم إخوة. I bear witness that all members of humanity are brothers and sisters. العباد, all. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ keeps on reminding us, كلكم, we hear this hadith, كلكم من آدم وآدم من تراب, that all of us belong to that unit, that one entity, and the entity is from dust. So you will find the Prophet ﷺ is teaching us that we ought to love. We ought to love not those who are like us, but to love humanity at large. And let me give us a few examples, because this sounds great, beautiful. But again, how do you implement? How do you execute? How do you bring this beautiful love into reality? I'm going to bypass the million examples I can give you about loving the companions, loving his family, loving his kids. I'm going to bypass because I'm sure we've heard them since we were young. The real test, brothers and sisters, is to love your enemy. You know, you hear that a lot. And sometimes, honestly, it's hard to digest. It sounds good, but it's hard to digest. So let us Let us look together, for example. We all know about the Ta'if, right? When the Prophet ﷺ went to the Ta'if, and it is a city bit far from Mecca, and he went there to present his case to the people of Ta'if. They were not Muslims. And the way they received him, they ridiculed him, and they stoned him, and they injured him, and they really was not at all a good time. Or the proper welcome to a visitor. That's what the Arabs were used to. If you are visiting, you receive someone with a sense of generosity. At least you provide for him water and few things. What he received, stones and blood, and he was injured. And he was presented the opportunity to curse them. We all know the story that, no, I will not curse them. That it might, someone for their progeny can come and believe in God. Let me leave that to another place. Go to a Battle of Uhud. We all know these stories very well. I chose things that you remember. So when we leave, you don't have to remember something new. These all, we know them. The Battle of Uhud, the Prophet, the Muslims badly defeated, and he was badly injured by his enemies. And then when he was, they told him, why don't you curse them? Because a prophet cursing his people, that's not good. Not good news for them. And he said that I wasn't sent for that purpose. يَا لَتَ قَوْمِ يَعْلَمُونَ. I wish that they know. He refused to curse his enemies, where they badly defeated Muslims and killed 70 some Sahabi. I leave that to go to Mecca. And this is, honestly, I want you to marvel on this. We all know what Mecca did to the Prophet and to the Muslims. And now you're coming victorious. In history, brothers and sisters, we take it lightly, but in history, that does not happen. You go in as a victorious, and those who've done you wrong, and you say, اذهبوا فأنتم الطلقاء, go, you are free. We say that often, but think about it. And that has fascinated many non-Muslims people about, if this is real, if this is a human being can do that, of course. A messenger of the Quran can do that. A person, as I said, who love. Because again, what the Prophet ﷺ, why he refused to punish, whether it is by a dua or by the physical aspect of punishing people in Mecca, because he wanted for them what he really loved for himself, which is a space and a time for them to get to know this beautiful message of Islam, the message of beauty and mercy and compassion and justice and peace and equality, the beautiful message that can help people really reach their potential spiritually and socially and economically and all these things in life. He had that opportunity. He loved his message. He passed it on to companions who loved him and loved what he represents. He, because of love, حَتَّى تُحِبَّ لِأَخِيكَ مَا تُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِكَ. So you will love for those people, humanity, what you love for yourself. What did the Prophet love for himself? Finding the God, the light. Finding the creator of this marvelous universe. This is what the Quran came, this is what Islam brought. And he really wished that for humanity at large. And this is why you will find he was so concerned about making sure that people will have the space and the time and the opportunity to find the path like he did. So this is the crux of the matter, and this is the challenge, is when how you are able to see love with your enemy and beyond the people who followed you. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم أدعو الله. الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي كتب على نفسه الرحمة وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. I hope brothers and sisters, in my first khutbah we got a little closer to our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as we have seen, I think the most prominent trait that I can walk out by when I look at all of this is the love that the Prophet ﷺ had for people. For not only for people, because we all know, which is different khutbah and different time, his love to nature, his love to animals, and so on. I won't go there. But love to people. And how he really translated that love into a reality. And I can assure you, I would probably take another 4 or 5 khutbahs giving you how he treated his enemies and how love was overarching light with all the relationship and all the encounters that he had with his enemies. So I'd like us now to go from this personality that is molded by love, that treats people with love, including his enemies, how he is to us. Now I want to come to us. And the khutbah is about us, but first I wanted to those of us who know to remind them, and those of us who don't know, our young men and women, our new converts, this is the figure that Allah and Islam wants us to love, because he is a loving person. You can't love someone who's harsh and who's rude, who's arrogant. You can't. You love people who are people of love. They display love, but they themselves, love comes from the heart, and we can find that in the Prophet ﷺ. How is he with us? And I wanted to just spend a few minutes so we can really wrap our mind around this great figure. I'll quote a verse from the Quran. It is chapter 9, verse 128. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Indeed, there has come unto you, O mankind, an apostle from among yourselves, a human being, not an angel, not from Mars, not from us. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ. It weighs heavy on his heart. Al-'ind here is when you face difficulties, challenges, problems. So remember how I said love is that the sense of the deep empathy is when you understand, you feel, and you wish the best and better for that individual. Here the Quran is capturing that in beautifully. It weighs heavy on his heart when you go through difficulties. You're having a problem in life. And in the eyes of the Prophet, the biggest problem of them all is when one individual does not, or he or she does not reach their spiritual, their religious, their social, their economical potential. Islam came to elevate us. The Quran came to elevate us and take us to the best that we can. Spiritually, religiously, socially, economically, all way around. And the Prophet is fully aware of that. And he's concerned about us knowing that we're going to face challenges. There are barriers. There are so many obstacles sometimes to see that light. And he was concerned. حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. He's very concerned about you. Not only that it weighs heavy on him, but he's very concerned. Brothers and sisters, this is the great figure that Islam wants us to love. I go from this verse to another verse to show how he was concerned about you and I today and now. Imam Ahmad, fi musnadih, he narrated a hadith, and I will not say all of it, but I was talking with his companions. He said, "Wadattu anni laqitu ikhwani." I wish that I can have met my brothers and sisters. So the companions were a bit surprised. They told him, "Aren't we your brother and your sisters?" He said, "No. You had the privilege to have my company, have met me and saw everything. So of course, you are my companion. But I'm talking about those one who they haven't met me. But they heard about me. But they loved me." So brothers and sisters, my call to you today is two things. Number one is the attempt to get us a little closer to the Prophet. And I call upon you to do the work. I hope I intrigued you. I hope I helped you push the button to realize that person of love, that great figure, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so we get to know him closer, so we can love him. And number two, I really want to underline how important it is for the younger generation, especially, who are here today. I see a lot of young people. I know the challenge that you're hearing so much noise here and there about the Prophet, not only by the non-Muslims, also by Muslims. Sometimes you hear about something the Prophet did, it violates every fabric of love. And you wonder, how could that be? You want me to love that individual? I can tell you, it cannot be. Nothing that violates love and the compassion and the beautiful message of Islam, if you hear about it and it violates that essence of goodness, it is not the Prophet. Look deeper, verify, don't know, ask. Because the problem is sometimes this, it's all beautiful and you hear it's one story and that can really destroy the building that you are trying to build about that great personality. I can tell you, with standing in his minbar, the place where the Prophet gave the khutbah, I am telling you it cannot be, it violates the core essence of Nabiul Rahmah. The messenger who is embodied with love, who loved the humanity, and with all the example that I give you. So I remind myself and you, brothers and sisters, today, filter, research, read, do your homework, get to know this important figure, because it is mandate upon us to love him because of who he represents. And I remind myself on you to also go beyond the cultural things that sometimes we are boxed in. I love culture. I love what it presents. But when the culture becomes the guidance, not the Quran and not the authentic model of the Prophet, that the culture becomes a problem. So I am calling upon us is to go beyond the culture, beyond whatever your culture from, to go beyond the culture and really get to the persona and to the character of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the most authentic way, hoping that his love will make it to our heart. Because for another khutbah, when that love goes into the heart, it impacts our life and it will change us, inshallah, from individuals who we are like now to people who are the source of goodness and the source of righteousness for ourselves and for our nation at large. أقول قولي هذا وأقول إني داع فقولوا آمين. Oh Allah, we pray to you to make us among the true followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, we pray to you and we ask you to instill his love in our hearts, to make our love to you and to him much more profound than any other love that we know or we experience in our life. Oh Allah, we pray to you to make our understanding of his authentic sunnah is the right light that can guide our life and can change it to a better human being. Oh, we ask you, Allah, to make us among the true believers who believe in the message of Islam and love the Prophet. And inshallah, we will be the brothers and the sisters that he is longing to in the hereafter. وَآخِرُ دُعَاءٍ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ